You are listening to the official podcast of the Mission Redlands. We are a growing community living out God's radical love.
We're a church meeting where we were letting the church know that we were letting our second pastor go at the mission. And I was a wreck emotionally, and this man stepped into my life. This man and his wife, Tammy. They stepped into my life, and he became so much more than a mentor to me. He became my spiritual father. And the mission, I can confidently say that without this man's voice, without his wife Tammy's voice, that the mission would not be where it is today. And so I just would love for you to honor Dave Gilmore as he comes up. So here, let's get you this one. So Dave, let them get to know you just a little bit. What is your, and Tammy. Tammy's right there. Everybody say hi to Tammy. Dave, what's your favorite football team?
Are we talking college or are we talking NFL?
College or NFL? College.
Nebraska.
Nebraska. All right. Interesting choice. I go for the Buckeyes.
I was aware of that. It has created some tension in our relationship.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Where all have you pastored?
I have pastored 4 years in Houston, 4 years in Fort Worth, 8 years in Wisconsin. We had a year in Minnesota before spending 11 years in Nebraska, and then 9 years in Cathedral City.
Man. And what's your current role now?
The district superintendent of the Christian Missionary Alliance.
Yeah. Awesome. So I'm going to open it up for Dave to share any memories and thoughts and encouragements that he has with you for a few moments. So would you just once again welcome Dave Gilmore.
Thank you. I was a little scary there for a moment. You were going to open it up for questions, and I was like, no, I'm not ready for that. You know, I am extremely proud of Pastor Jason and Kim and how they have led and loved well here, as it's not been an easy journey. It's been ups and downs and whatnot, and my wife and I were very, very blessed because my district superintendent, Bill Malik, and his wife, Debbie, are here as well. Go ahead. That's okay. Yeah, there you go. Where I had been in transition from Nebraska to California in the ministry there in Cathedral City. And he, uniquely enough, appointed me and asked me, hey, go spend some time with Jason, and really assigned me to mentor him. And it has worked out well, where I expressed this just this week to Jason and Kim. Their investment back to me has been just as beneficial. And so it's been a fun journey. I've spent time with your leadership team as Jason has allowed me to sit with y'all through some of those times, and I'm very, very proud. Here's what is very unique about any organization, whether it's a school or a church, and that is whoever is giving leadership to it, the church takes on that personality. And so what you sense and feel here at the mission is very much the heart and person of Jason, his love for people and the Lord. That's what you have, and that's what you get to experience. As I was sitting here and watching the slides go through about what's happening, it had the missions men slide, no one walks alone, and that just struck a chord with me because we don't. And we've gone through COVID where we were alone a lot. I was kind of excited about COVID because I like being alone, and yet it got on and on and on. I'm like, okay, I'm ready to be with people again. And I think that as I've spent some time meditating on John the Baptist, let me just kind of reflect a few things that I've thought about, because John the Baptist has this incredible beginning. In Luke chapter 1, we see that his mom and dad couldn't have kids. They were older in age. One day, his dad, Zechariah, is at church worshiping, and Gabriel shows up and says, hey, I'm going to give you a son. Call him John. because he's going to proclaim the message before. He's going to be the forerunner. Of course, the story goes on that Zechariah doesn't really believe him, but then he can't talk. He can't speak. Elizabeth, John's mom, gives birth. 8 days into going to have him circumcised, or what are you going to name him? Elizabeth says, it's going to be John. They're like, no, nobody's named John. You don't name him John. Let's try a different name. Hey, Zechariah, come over here. And so they get him a notepad, and he writes out his name will be John, and then he could speak. And they're like, whoa, what's going on here? It's this miraculous thing. And so there's this story, even out of his birth, he's still in the womb of his mom, Elizabeth, and Mary shows up with Jesus in her own womb, and John in the womb of his mom leaps for joy. Why? Because it was already said by Gabriel to Zechariah that he will have the Holy Spirit even in the womb. And that proves to be true. And so here's this man, John, called by God, given a mission, anointed with the Holy Spirit. And yet in the 11th chapter of Matthew, we see this season of John where he's in prison. He's alone. He's kind of discouraged. And he sends a couple of disciples to Jesus and says, ask Jesus this question, are you the one? I want you to ponder that for a moment. This is John. He baptized Jesus. He was there when the Father said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. He saw the Holy Spirit descend like a dove. He was there. He witnessed as he saw this. And yet there was a season where he was isolated. And in his isolation, he's like, this whole call, this calling, this investment, all the sacrifice I've made, did I blow this? Hey, is he really the one I gave everything up for? You ever had a season like that? Satan loves to isolate you because in your isolation, self-doubt begins to seep in. And it's in that loneliness where we begin to entertain ideas that are not of God. Truth sets free, lies bring bondage, and it's in those moments of isolation, seasons of isolation, if you allow yourself, where you become most vulnerable to begin to question the work and hand of God in your life. Fortunately, Jesus responds to the disciples, and he tells them to observe. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised, and it goes through. And basically, what he's doing there is fulfilling the prophecy of Isaiah of what the Messiah will do. And they go back and report that. And we're not really told. This is really the end of John's ministry. But what I find fascinating is this. No matter what you do or what you are called, no matter how invested you are in life, even John, which Jesus in chapter 11 of Matthew says, there's no one greater than John. And I'm thinking, no one greater than John, and John still had a problem thinking this through? Yeah. I probably will too. Yeah, right. You can't walk alone. That's my point. And just as my wife and I found such sweet fellowship with Pastor Jason and Kim, you too need to find someone. You can worship in a crowd, but you can still be all alone. Been there, done that. Here's what happens, though. You need to trust and respect that other person. Can you trust them? Well, you won't know until you go there. And here's what I find fascinating is that our trust gets wrecked because we try that with people and they burn us. And we make a conclusion, I can't trust anyone, and therefore I won't trust anyone. But here's what love is. Love will always put us vulnerable to be hurt. They will know you are my disciples because you love one another. And when you love others, you put yourself in a position to be hurt. It doesn't mean you should cease loving. Jesus loved us, and we've burned him repeatedly. Yeah, Jason, we understand that. Maybe y'all will figure that out. But here's the deal. He doesn't turn his back, no matter how you might think, I've blown it too much, I can't go back, I can't. No, he still loves you while you were yet a sinner. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what he calls us to be. And so our extension of loving others isn't about whether they will love me back. It's about extending the love of Christ. I cannot walk alone. I need other people. Pastor Jason and Kim have walked with my wife and I too. And it's been a beautiful partnership. Really want to encourage you today to decide. You need someone else. You don't need a crowd. You need someone that you can be vulnerable and honest, who will love you and pray with you and walk with you. There is strength when you come together in two or three. Really, congratulations, church. You got here because Pastor Jason and Kim haven't departed from that way. They've faithfully served you through some tough times. Tough times. That doesn't mean that it's all over. There's going to be tough times ahead. Why? Because the righteous walk by faith. And the only way you can walk by faith is if you go through tough times. Don't buy into the American way that if you love Jesus, everything's happy. That's not in the Bible. That's the American way to get you to trick, to discourage you so that you'll give up on church, you'll give up on Christ. That's not in the scriptures. The scripture talks about the righteous walk by faith. It says in Timothy that all who desire to live godly will be persecuted. Well, that persecution can come in a number of ways, but you don't give up because this is not my home and this is not my world. This is just temporary. I think I've gone long enough. I could keep going, but I'm not. Thanks for having me. Congratulations and happy birthday.
Man, that was good. Thank you so much, Dave. And you kind of beat me to the punch, but there's one more couple that I want to recognize here this morning. We've already clapped for them, but we're going to clap for them again, so I want you to be prepared for that when I say go, okay? All right, so right here, Bill and Deb Malik. Bill was the district superintendent when I came to this church. Bill was one of the first CMA people that I met on the district. He was the district superintendent, so that was kind of cool, right? My wife and I came from upstate New York to help plant this church, and Bill had the vision, and he helped us get on the road to that vision. And along the way, he had to make some really difficult decisions, and so. I just want you to know that we wouldn't be here today if it weren't for this man right here, Bill Malik. So thank you, Bill. Thank you. Thank you. I've been recounting the past a lot lately because I'm like uber sentimental. Ask my wife. Every morning over coffee, I'm like Facebook memories like clockwork. Like I gotta check those out, right? And I am just like the most sentimental person ever. And so I'll be like, Kim, you gotta see this. She'll be like, oh gosh, what is it now? You know, or whatever. Like, cause my wife is not sentimental at all. And so I've been really recounting the past. And man, you know what? Mission Church, we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot. You may not know the history of our 10 years. Let me break it down for you real quick, okay? My wife and I arrive September 2012, and we begin to have meetings to help launch this church. I am the associate worship leader at this time. We, in February 2013, we launched the mission. Things are growing great. It's a beautiful thing. There's momentum. It's wonderful. 6 months later, the lead pastor at the time calls me and says, I'm on vacation and I'm not coming back. So I led through the interim of that period I had no clue. I was so shell-shocked. Bill was the one who was really calling the shots or whatever, but then over the next 2 years, we brought in another pastor, and he was a great guy, but he wasn't a great fit. And in the end, the church, we loved him to pieces, but we had to let him go at this point. So a brand new church plant, starting at 6 months, has been through two pastors in three years, something like that. So after that, I lead for an interim period, and then eventually You know, I called Dave and like, hey, are you looking for this lead pastor guy that we're supposed to have? And he's like, oh, well, we decided it was you a long time ago. We were just waiting for you to figure it out. And and I was like, oh, all right, I guess we better tell the church, you know? And so we did, and so that was a rocky start. And then, you know, a couple years after that, we have a worldwide pandemic, right? The mission has been through some things in some 10 years. But here's what I want you to walk away today with is that we've all been through some things. Individually and as a family, we've been through some things. But the Lord has been 100% faithful. There are so many times where these doors could have closed. There are so many times where we could have not seen another Sunday together. But somehow the Lord miraculously provided to keep this family going and together. And some of that is you sitting in this room. I started thinking about the Israelites and how the Lord, after he parted the Red Sea and they escaped Egypt, how they were wandering in the desert for 40 years. And I like how Nehemiah breaks this down a little bit. The thing I was thinking about is we look at, like, we can, like, that sounds horrible. Who likes to wander around the desert besides Brian and Jody? Like, right? Who likes to wander around the desert? Like, that just does not sound like a good time for me. And then you add 40 years on top of that, right? That just sounds miserable. But here's the thing. The Lord provided their direction. The Lord provided their every need. And in Nehemiah 9, 19 through 23, it says this. Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them. Because the Israelites groaned and complained the whole time. Right? Even though all their needs and directions were being met, they groaned and complained. Why? Because they're in the desert, right? Because of your great compassion, you did not abandon them in the wilderness. By day, the pillar of cloud did not fail to guide them on their path, nor the pillar of fire by night to shine on the way they were to take. You gave your good spirits to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths. You gave them water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness, and they lacked nothing. Their clothes didn't even wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. Who has swollen feet? No. You gave them kingdoms and nations, allotting them even the remotest frontiers. And moving and skipping to 23, it says this. You made their children as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you brought them into the land that you told their parents to enter and possess. God was faithful every step of the way. For the Israelites, he did everything he said he would do and more. He cared for them. He met their every need. And so we've been through some things over 10 years. But you know what? The Lord has done everything he said he was going to do. The Lord provided in every way imaginable that we needed. We may not have had a lot, but we were not without. My feet weren't even swollen, right? I was just like meditating on what I wanted to say this morning. And a couple weeks ago, the Lord brought this couple of verses to me out of the Psalms, and I've just been sitting with it. And sometimes for these anniversary things, there's like a lot of pressure to cast the next vision for the future and, you know, all that stuff. And the Lord just had me sitting with these two verses. It's Psalm 127, 1 and 2. It says this: unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Now, I was sitting with this passage, and it may not be like jumping out to you as something for our future, but here's the thing about this passage, is that as I was studying it, and I have some biblical culture books that I always check and stuff, and in Hebrew, the word house, unless the Lord builds the house, can mean a structure, but you know what else it can mean? A family. A family. And what do we say at the Mission? We're not just a church, we're a, right? So here's what I think this psalm is saying for the next season, is unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Jesus Christ has to be the center of the future of this church. He has to be the cornerstone. And he will do everything he said he would do. He is faithful. And everything else that we're not necessarily called to do, we may need to lay down. Because our part is in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, Jesus leaves us with these words: all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's what Jesus left us to do. But so many times, just like Psalm 127, we think it's our job to build the church. But Jesus said he would build the church. It was our job to make disciples. And so Christ has to be the cornerstone of the future of the Mission. And we have to do what we are called to do and let God do what he wants to do with everything else. We have to center ourselves in our duty. And God will provide for our every need. Does that make sense? You with me? One last sentimental thing that I have to share. I'm sorry, I know. I'm just a dork that way. I don't know, but oh, man, I had this memory this morning, and I hadn't thought about it in a long time, and I don't think it was by coincidence. My wife and I had just come, my wife and I lived here before, but we went to serve a church in upstate New York for 6 years, and it was very cold, and like 30 miles south of Canada cold, we came to do the Mission, to help launch the Mission, be a part of the launch team. And the very first staff meeting that we had, this place was still called Alliance Bible Church at the time. We gathered together, and it was all the people that were on staff at the time. And I'm driving down from Crestline to Redlands, and it gets very cloudy on the freeway up there. If you've ever been up there on a cloudy day, you know. And there was just this one patch of clouds, and like as I was turning onto the highway, and I just remember coming out of those clouds and feeling the Lord's presence like I've never felt before in the car with me. And I know it sounds silly, but like I glimpsed heaven. Like there was a scene of beauty that I cannot describe in words. And I got down to the staff meeting and shared it with these people that I barely knew, and like expecting them to full on think I'm a lunatic or something, you know? And all of us started to weep because we felt like the Lord was just blessing what the journey that we were about to go on. And it was just a really beautiful time. And this morning I was literally thinking about that memory as we were driving, and my youngest son Owen says out of nowhere, "Look, a rainbow." And I look over and there's this beautiful rainbow. And it's just such a sweet moment because the Lord just affirmed his promise. If you know the story of Noah, God says in Genesis 9, it says, "This is a sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." Call me sentimental, call me crazy, I don't know, but I haven't seen a rainbow in a long time. And for it to be the morning of the 10-year anniversary when I'm already having this memory of God's presence, I believe that it's just an affirmation of the Lord's blessing over the next 10 years of this. But we have to do our part. God will always do his part. God will always be faithful. He will always remember his covenant. He will always do what he says he's going to do. But we have to do our part. And that's not to build the church, but to make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, I want to invite Dave up one more time. Dave is going to pray and just give us a blessing over the next 10 years. Not he's going to pray for 10 years, but...
Oh, glad you clarified. Join me in prayer, will you, please? Heavenly Father, it is a delight knowing that you have called us to serve you, but you've made us to worship you. As you sit here and you have listened, it's my desire for you to pray where you sit, not out loud, but unto the Lord. I ask that you would commit yourself to him. It would be something like this: "Lord Jesus, I surrender to you and I commit myself to you." Invite the Holy Spirit to fill you, to cleanse you, to empower you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to one or two people that you can walk with, that will hold you accountable, that will speak truth and love. It would be a prayer that simply says, "Lord Jesus, I want to walk alone. Give me someone that I can trust and respect, to be encouraged to stay true to you." Father, I ask in Jesus' name that your Spirit continue to fall upon this church, this people, this place. I pray that it would be a lighthouse to this community and there would be many who would come to the knowledge of you, that their lives would be transformed, that the blessing of the Lord Jesus and his constant provision and care would be consistent and true and seen, that the presence of the Lord would be known in this place. And so it is in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that we surrender all to you, that you might receive glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are listening to the official podcast of The Mission Redlands. For more information, visit us at themissionredlands.com.